Zvachim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Hey, 6-5, and now the Mishnah turns to the Ola Sa'of, the bird offering which is totally burned. This we brought for a number of reasons. First of all, it can be brought simply as an adava. A person can volunteer to bring such a bird. Alternatively, it's brought as an obligatory offering, typically paired up with the Chatas Of as a pair of two. That would be, for example, we have the various Olav Yoreds, like I said before, those variable sin offerings. If a person can't afford to bring an animal, he'll bring birds instead, and that would be for eating kachim betuma, entering the base of English in the state of tuma, suppressing testimony where you can help your friend, or swearing falsely. In addition, a mitzora who can't afford to bring a chatos to bring the bird instead, a yoledes, person who gave birth, a woman, she would bring, if she can't afford to bring an animal as an ola, she could bring a bird instead. Also, you have the zav and the zava as part of their purification process, bring a pair of birds at all times, whether they're rich or poor. And then also you have the nazir, becomes tummy. He also has to bring a bird and ola as part of his purification process. So those are the scenarios where you'd bring this bird. The Mishnah says, Ketzad haisa na'asa. So how was this performed? Ala bekevesh, the Kohen who's going to perform the Ola Sa'of, so he's going to do it, as we'll see in a second, in the southeast corner, which is the first corner of the Mizbeach he'll reach if he goes up the ramp. And he goes and stands on the Sovev, because the Sovev leads you first to the southeast corner on the right-hand side. The person will be going up the ramp on the right, meaning the eastern side, and turning off there to the Sovev. It's done up there, meaning, unlike the Chatzos, which is performed essentially anywhere, the Malika can happen anywhere inside the temple courtyard. This is an Ola. It must be done essentially on the Mizbeach itself. And therefore, it's going to be stood on the southeast corner. That's just because it's most convenient. As we'll see shortly, you need to put a part of this animal on the floor in the base of Desh in there in the southeast corner by the ramp. So he's going to go up on the ramp, stand on the Sovev. So he's standing off the ground on that ledge, if you will, six almost off the ground. So he goes up the ramp, Ufana la Sovev, he turns onto the Sovev, Balu la Karen Medromis Mizrachis, he arrives there to the southeast corner where he does it. Hayamolek es rosha, and there he slaughters this bird just as it did with the chatas ha'of, meaning he's holding the two legs between his ring and index finger. He's holding the two wings between his index. I'm sorry, again. He's holding the feet of the bird between his pinky and his ring finger. He's holding the legs of the bird between his middle finger and his index finger, and then he's got the head pulled back between his thumb and his index finger, all in his left hand. So it's quite a difficult thing to do. And then he's going to do the malika with his fingernail on the thumb of the right hand. Okay, now he's going to do the malika, mimul orpa, just below the skull on the back of the neck of the bird, umavdil, and he'll separate. Now, we had said before, by the chatas of, it's actually an isser from the Torah to do bimavdil, to separate. Here he must separate. What mavdil means, according to most mafarshim, it means he has to sever both of the simanim, both of those two tubes coming down in the neck of the bird. So we're talking here about the veshet, which is the esophagus, the food pipe, and the kaneh, that's the trachea or the windpipe. According to Rambam, mavdil means to actually separate the head altogether from the body. It's not just separating the simanim, but as we'll see momentarily, even if you just separate the two simanim, you're going to have to separate the head altogether in a moment. Anyway, so the head is essentially separated or removed, and you're doing both pipes. Again, in contrast to the chatos, where you just did one or the other. And here, it's going to be a mitzvah to separate it, as opposed to the chatos, where it was an avera, allowed to do it. Now, umematze es dama al kir hamizbeach. And he'll now squeeze the blood. This is going to be onto the wall of the mizbeach. So here, we're doing it on the southeast wall. You'll note that there's no yesod at the bottom, because remember, everything has to be done on the wall above the yesod, but below the red line, the chutas sikra. The exceptions are the chatas, the zevach, the regular animal chatas, which goes in the four corners, including the southeast corner, which has no yesod. And here too, there's an olas of, but since the blood is going above the red line, so therefore it doesn't need to have yesod below, not a problem at all. So he's going to apply the blood on the wall. You see there's no hazah, there's no spritzing of the blood like you had with the chatasov. It's only a mitzu, a squeezing of the blood. Okay, so the blood from the body of the bird is going to be squeezed against the blood of the wall there. And then venatal esrosh, he'll take the head, which is separate from the body, and vihikif beis melikaso lemizbeach. He'll also touch the push the neck where the melika happened against the wall of the mizbeach to get any blood out from there. And then now he'll get to have to vesafago usfago b'melach. He'll have to cover it in salt. The salt is going to be, says Rashi, on the top of the mizbeach, and therefore he's going to essentially put down the body of the bird on that sore, on that sovev. He will walk back along the sovev up the ramp, get the salt, put the head of the bird salting by the where the neck is, and then he'll be close enough to the fire on top of the altar that he'll be able to put into the fire. That's what it says the Mishnah. Sfago b'melech, he'll put salt on the neck, let's call it, of the head of the bird. B'zarkol gabim ha'ishim, and he tossed it onto the fires. He isn't going to do it down from the sova, because then it's like a, you know, you have to have like a big kind of hook shot a long way up. The sovev is six amos off the ground, so the base of the fire is three amos higher, and then you have the fire on top of that, so you're not going to throw things so high, it's considered disrespectful. So he'll go up there, get the salt up there on the mizbeach, and throw it onto the fire, and then he'll come back down to get the body. Bola leguf, he comes back to the body of the bird. The hesir es hamuria, now, he's going to end up burning the body as well on the fire. But before he does that, the muria, which literally means kind of like the waste product, but it's referring to the digestive tract, let's call it the greater stomach for a second, where the food is sort of dissolving inside there and coming apart, that's going to be removed. Rashi brings, based on a midrash, the reason is that the bird collects its food also from stolen goods, like it's not, unlike a cow or goat or sheep, which the farmer feeds from, you know, the food that he buys, puts in his trough. The birds move around and eat from who knows where. So therefore, Hashem doesn't want that source on the Mizbeach, so it's removed. So while the Muria here literally means that, it's referring to what's in Hebrew called the Zefek, in English, the crop. What happens is a pouch in the esophagus of a bird. Not all birds have them, but these birds do. And it's essentially, you can store food there. You maybe have seen birds regurgitate and to feed their young in National Geographic or something. And it sort of gets soft inside there. If it doesn't regurgitate the food, it softens before it goes further down into the stomach. So that has to be removed. Now to access it, the Kohen will actually take a knife and he'll like cut like a little window in the, I'll call it the throat of the bird. That means you're going to lose some feathers, some skin. And we're using a knife here specifically because we wanted to kind of minimize how much is being removed, because everything has to be burned except what needs to be removed. So take just cutting that kind of square window, if you will, in the neck of the bird. You'll lose some feathers, some skin. You'll pull out the zefek, here the muria, and with it will become, also says the Mishnah here, b'nei me'ayim hayotzim imah, other innards that come out with it. So that's probably going to include what's called the korkaban in Hebrew, which means essentially the gizzard in English. So that's like a later, kind of like the stomach, where the animal kind of also breaks down the food, kind of mechanically. There's some rocks inside that the animal eats. The bird then, the stomach kind of grinds up the food to make it so it can be digested. So that all is, they're connected. Essentially, the crop and the, which is the zefek, which is the muria, is connected to the gizzard, the korkaban, so it comes out together. And that, with the feathers and the skin that you have to remove from the window, so to speak, vishlichan leves hadashin, it's put on the beis hadashin, which is a little square tile area on the ground. It's on the eastern side of the kevesh, the ramp. It's specifically, says the Mishnah Tamid, it's 10 amos from the start of the ramp, so kind of one third up, and a half an amma to the east of it. So floor tile just, you know, near the, on the eastern side of the ramp, where that is going to go. It's the same place where you'd put the Trumas Hadesh and the ashes taken from the Tapuach, the ashes on top of the Mizbeach, as well as what you get from the menorah. You don't need to clean out the menorah, so it goes over there. And then, so that's removed and placed over there, and you have the rest of the bird now. Shisa v'lo hivdil. The Kohen's going to split the bird kind of in half. Well, shisa, like, is the same word used for the split hooves for kosher animals. So it's going to be, you're going to basically, he's going to kind of peel open the bird from the backside, like where the wings are, between the wings. So it's opened up and so it can get access to salt there. V'lo hivdil, he shouldn't break into two halves. That's not the idea. It's just to open up the bird so you can get salt inside there. Viv hivdil kasher. If he does separate it, then it's okay. If it does come into two halves, you don't want that, but it could happen. Worth noting, the way that the Rambam learns it is that you don't have to split at all, but if you do, it's okay. Others learn there's a requirement to split it. Okay, just not all the way. So that's a big difference, of course, in the mitzvah d'oraisa, because of pasuk. Then usfago b'melach. Then once it's been kind of split, the bird, then you'll again put it. Sfago literally means sort of like saturate, like sponge it up, but it's you cover it with salt. And then bezarkal gabbehim ishim. You'll then take the breast of the bird, minus what you left on the tile down below in the base addition, and put the whole bird on the fire. So essentially everything's getting burned entirely, except for the bit of the digestive tract, the murius, the zefek, and what comes with it, the beime'im, as well as a few feathers, and the piece of skin that you cut the window with. Everything else goes on the fire and burn, and the kohen eats nothing. Let me just sum this up in contrast to the previous Mishnah. We talked about the chatas. So first of all, let's just talk about the differences. First of all, where you do the malika, the chatas ha'of is done anywhere technically in the Azara, although normally it was done in the southwest corner because of convenience. But here, for the olas ha'of, it has to be specifically on the soviv in the southeast corner. Again, it'd be kosher anywhere in the soviv, but the southeast corner is chosen because it's close to the base of the shin, access to the ramp, etc. The way in which you do the malika, so in the chatas, you just cut one simen, either the kana or the veshet, and it's an iser from the Torah to separate the head from the body. Whereas the ola, you cut both simanim, the kana and the veshet, and you have an obligation, a chiyav, to separate the head from the body, according to Rambam altogether, according to others, at least just separate those two simanim. Okay, I could edit that out if I wanted to, but I decided to leave it in. This is being recorded in the year 2025. It's May. Israel's fighting a just war to get back the last about 20-odd captives in Gaza. And the Houthim radical Muslims in Yemen are participating by sending missiles into Israel. That was the sound of my the alarm first you heard in the air raid sirens outside, as well as that my phone started, I'm doing the home front command siren, forcing us to go take shelter in the bomb shelters. Where I was for 10 minutes, now I'm back wrapping up this mission here, and that will be a reminder of this sad time. Wrapping up here, so I'm saying now the differences between the chatas and ola of the bird. So we also have the place where the blood goes. So when it comes to the chatas, it is going to be on the southwest corner, below the chutasikra, the red line, above the yesod. When it comes to the ola, it's going to be above the chutasikra on the southeast side. As far as how the blood is applied, so the chatas has both the haza'ah, the spritzing, and the mitzui, the squeezing, whereas the ola has just mitzui, squeezing. Luckily, you're doing the squeezing from both sides, though, the head and the body, with the ola and only one from the chatas. Finally, what's done with it afterwards? So the chatas is not burned in the fires at all, rather it's eaten by the kohanim, whereas the ola is entirely burned on the fires, except for a little bit of that the muria, like the crop and what comes out with it, as well as those feathers and skin to access it.